I think Bandy's had various disappointments about his book collection over time. I know when he got back to England, one of the first things he did was to go to see his father to say, "Oh, where are my books that I packed away and you've been keeping for me?" And his father said, "Oh, well, I'm not sure what's happened to those." So they did disappear, I'm afraid. But the 100 books became the nucleus of what was to become what was known as the Order Library. And it's been really looked after by lots of people over the years, and I don't know who all, you know, lots of people. I was chatting with Ananda today, and he's the one who was responsible in the very early days at Aryatara of putting the stamps in the front saying property of the Western Buddhist Order, or whatever they say. So Ananda was at one time library keeper. I came across the library first myself at Pamaloka. I don't know if you remember it, but way back in the past there was a periodical called Mitratar, and we used to publish it or work on it in Norwich. And at one time I was responsible for researching footnotes. So at that time, not having Google, I used to get on my bike and go to Pamaloka. And sure enough, there was the Order Library, and I was allowed in. It felt quite ceremonious, but I remember sitting, well, I remember it as a sunny room with Manjushri on the mantelpiece and being brought cups of tea by the community. And what struck me then, it was the same thing, really. Even if something sounded quite obscure, I was very likely to be able to find it somewhere in Bandy's books, because that was where he'd got it all from to start with. It's fascinating, really. And then the library moved with Bantu to Birmingham and Madramaloka. And there, well, Kalyanaprabha really took it on, and she spent many, many hours in that little garage underneath Bantu's flat, cataloguing the books, cherishing the books, and ultimately packing them up to come here. I think many thanks indeed are due to her for all her devotion and love given to that task. She wrote an account of her time in the library, and I'll just quote you a bit. "I often thought about our future readers. I wanted them to be able to find their books easily, but I was also increasingly aware of other dimensions to these books. They were Bantu's books. They were a sort of bibliographical biography. At least to some degree, they showed which books, which ideas, which lives he had been familiar with. The collection reflected his taste, his interests, and that in itself was a sort of teaching, an aspect of what Subhuti called cultural Kalyanamitrata. And then some books carried dedications, like the one from Allen Ginsberg. Others had a whole history. The Sutta Nipata, old Pali text versions now falling apart, with the inscription E.H. Brewster, the artist who lived with D.H. Lawrence on the island of Capri, where Lama Govinda also lived. Brewster gave them to Govinda, who then later gave them to Bante. And sure enough, actually, if you go and leaf through the Pali Canon in that room, Brewster in the flyleaf. And Moksha Priya also had a lot to do with that phase of creating the library, so many thanks are due to him as well. And now, well, here the collection is at Adistana. And the search for what became Adistana, of course, began with Bante's wish for his library and his collection of artefacts to find a home. And I asked Bante about this the other day, just in a way wondering, well, why? What was that about? And he said, well, in a way, the collection represents one of the four lineages that he's spoken about, that of teaching. The four lineages: teaching, practice, inspiration, responsibility. And he said that over time, that the vision for Adistana expanded to include all of those. So it's as though one thing led to another. I'm interested to notice that lots of people speak of the library as being at the heart of Adistana. So it's not the brain, it's not the nerve centre. There's something about that it's the heart. And when I first got involved with it, well, I worked a lot with Ratna Dharani and Yashodeva and various other people who were working on the building and just trying to work out what to do logistically with the library. How would it be laid out? How would we do the shelves? I remember Dharani and I with a great long tape measure, kind of measuring shelves. I drew a plan. And not long after that, we were offered, amazingly, this great lot of shelving from Foyle's Bookshop in London. All these beautiful shelves being given away. And there's something very serendipitous about all of that, not least because, of course, that was Bante's old stamping ground in terms of bookshops in his youth. So here they are, Foyle's bookshelves. So that also, once we got those and once Yashodeva got going on, he worked so hard, and then we thought, OK, let's get the books out. Let's start it. So really, something's happening here for the first time. I think Bante's books are becoming fully accessible for the first time here, because it's not just his Buddhist books, but also the collections he's made of many branches of literature, especially poetry, but all kinds of things. And so it relates, as Bante reminded me himself to say, one of his six distinctive emphases, or the six distinctive emphases of our movement, which is the importance of higher culture to the spiritual life. That's represented here. Banti did say he's not read all the books himself, some of them having been donated by friends, and I got the impression that I was to understand that he has read almost all of them. But I must say, I'm not sure where they've all come from, but I think some of them must have acquired, a bit like a snowball, they've acquired kind of bits on the way, because, for example, when we were shelving in there, I remember finding not one, but two copies of Teach Yourself Biochemistry. I can't imagine any circumstance in which, you know, Banti would have read that, let alone twice in different volumes. So clearly some sorting out is to be done by our librarian.